The Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com.
St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. Happy Monday, Ranch.
Hey, thanks, Dave.
Has anyone said the Michael Cohen thing to you yet?
No, what?
Uh-oh. Okay, so you don't look like Michael Cohen.
Oh, no.
But
oh, no.
There are pictures. There were pictures over the weekend where he was wearing your glasses and a hat.
How dare he?
He could play you in the Chris Ranji movie. You could not play him, but he looks like you when he wears the glasses.
Also, because this is how I always look. Anytime anybody ever sees a person with a hat and glasses, they send me a text with the photo and say, "Hey, found your brother." Like, this is just what you look like
when you're Groucho Man.
Yeah.
So. But see, I think the thing is with you, for most people, accessories are not an immutable characteristic, but with you, they are. Like, they're just part of who
you are. It's my entire identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's like all winter when I wear my beanie, and then, as Rage calls it, Nike Head Dave shows up one day, and you have to come to terms with it. It's like, oh, he's going to do this.
All of a sudden, it's like, wow, okay.
He's going to do this all summer, I guess.
I feel like when they take the census, how it's like nationality, language, are you a citizen, hat, glasses, and he has to check it off. Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, that would be a good thing for me. What if I had been called to testify because of mistaken identity?
You're like, I have very little to tell you.
Yeah. No.
I think Roger would have weaved a tale.
Yeah.
I used to date a lady.
Yeah. Make some stuff up.
Wheels and I had a fun morning this morning. We were with a bunch of advertisers over at Busch Stadium. Mm-hmm. Get to do it a couple times a year. It's the first time I've been able to do it. And you take batting practice, and you have three former Cardinals there with you.
Yeah.
Who do we have today?
So Scott Terry is the one. He runs a lot of these things, right? He is actually the organizer.
Very cool, funny guy.
Yeah. Oh, Scott's. And you're only getting the cleanish version of Scott. You get him off to the side. It's great. But he also runs like the kids' camps, too. And you can tell how he runs this, that he's used to talking to kids and keeping everything in order. But they do a great job. My buddy Scott Cooper is one of them. He's a St. Louis guy. Grew up in Maryland Heights and was first-round draft pick by the Red Sox and was the guy, I think I told you this, he was the guy that replaced Wade Boggs in Boston.
Yeah, that's
when
nuts.
Wade Boggs left over to go to New York. He made the All-Star team.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So he did a good job there.
It's tough to replace a guy like that.
I know. Coop's a good guy. He's a good player. And then, obviously, Greg Matthews, another guy in town. And I've coached with all three of those guys at the same facility and, you know, the same program. And
I faced Greg.
Good dudes.
I faced Greg 25 or 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
In a men's league.
Oh.
And I went up to him and I'm like, you won't remember this. And he's like, men's league? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, Soge, Illinois? I'm like, yes, sir.
Hey, there we go. All of us that love playing baseball, we have all played in the men's league in Soge.
Yeah.
And that's not a euphemism. There's baseball over there.
He goes, I'm...
Yeah, sure there is.
He goes, I'm surprised you knew it was me. Because there was nothing saying that I was a former Cardinal. I'm like, you were throwing 92 miles an hour. We had an inkling.
He's probably just sitting up there, no hitter. Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, it was a good time. Great group. You know, it was neat because especially for people that aren't around the ballpark a lot, you'd start off, everybody's playing catch in the outfield. And thank God for Scott Terry for making it clear you play catch, you don't have a catch. There's no such thing as have a catch. You play catch. So you got to do that across center field, across the outfield, and then you'd have a group shagging in the outfield, one in the infield, one hitting, and then you just kind of rotate through. Yeah,
it's really cool. I got to play catch with my buddy Wheels in Busch Stadium.
In center field at Busch Stadium.
Really fun.
Right where Dylan Carlson and Michael Ciani and all those guys stand.
Very cool.
Yep.
And then we went to the infield. We were playing shortstop together. We each got to handle two or three balls.
Yeah.
I got to tell you something. I mean... We were deep. Right?
Oh yeah, we're just in front of the cut of the grass. Yeah.
And we had a bunch of weenies like us hitting the ball.
Right.
So it wasn't like anyone was rocketing it toward us. Oh, it moves so fast.
Yeah.
Impossibly fast.
People don't realize like the speed of a major league field, because you think of the shortest fairway you've ever seen. that's how it's cut, and the dirt is hard.
Hard.
Mm-hmm. It's not like soft dirt when you you know, you look at it, it looks beautiful. It's pretty hard, and the ball moves fast. It's not
like
as fast.
Billiards table.
It's not as fast as like you would have in an, you know, you go to a youth game and you got a turf field. Those are fast, but this is pretty close to that. Like big league speed on a big league field is different.
Insane.
And that's the thing that people like from a distance you can't tell. But you said you get down there and you see just normal dudes hitting the ball, and you go, that gets on you pretty good.
I'm not lying. The ball got to me each time I caught it a second faster than I was expecting it. I was down in a crotch.
But did you notice? No bad hops.
No bad hops.
No.
I'm down
very, very clean.
I'm like, I think this one's going to stay pretty close to the... Oh, Tim McGlove. That's what I meant to do.
Yeah. Remember that Scott told the joke, you know, make sure when you're fielding a ground ball, you field it with your hands out in front. Because if you get it too deep and you miss... Three's a crowd,
yeah.
Right? You know, that's and that's kind of what everybody, you could see a couple guys get caught and they're like, oh, yeah. Look out.
It was fun.
All right, so who hit one out?
Nobody.
No. Mm.
Not even the supplement superstores guys who were jacked.
Yeah, a couple of jacked guys. Yeah.
Now, I will say, they and then one of the guys from Sugar Fire, they hit the wall almost, on the fly.
That guy could play.
Yeah, there were a couple of them that were youngish and strong and getting after it.
It's like the current Cardinals.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if I feel like if I did this, my analysis of like, why are the Cardinals struggling? I'll be like, well, it's because baseball is pretty hard.
Yeah.
The ball is coming at you really fast.
Turns out it gets there a whole second faster than you think it's going.
It's actually funny. That's because Scott Terry was telling everybody that at the beginning. He's like, he goes, you see it on TV. He goes, but it's like, it's actually even harder than you think it is.
Yeah. Yes.
When you're down there.
That'd be
but
my
those
analysis.
Guys are so good, though.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so when Ronge and I or something, you know, when we're critical of a player not making a play, it's grading them against the other major league players,
yes.
Not against the rest of us.
And it's a
no.
given. It's right. A given that we're not as good as them.
Oh, not even,
we're not
no,
even
yeah.
close.
They're
like,
all in their own
given.
World.
We know that. We don't have to qualify it every time.
Yeah.
But it's I've always been fascinated by that. When you see a guy who was either in the major leagues or in professional ball up against the rest of us, just like it's not even close. I remember seeing a guy who the highest he ever got was, I think it was low A or maybe high A ball, which is minor leagues, but pretty low level. And I remember watching him take batting practice before I knew he was an A ball guy and thought, man. This guy's somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
He can clearly hit. And then somebody said, he was in this system. He was in high A.
So those guys that were in A ball,
double A.
Those guys in A ball were in, just to round it, it's less than 1%, but they're the top 1% of all the guys you saw in high school and college. So if you took your high school league and took the best guy, that guy wasn't as good as this guy that made it to A ball. And then the big leaguers are the 1% of those guys. Right? Like, it's the 1% of the 1%. That's how much of a difference it is.
It just, even when one of those guys throws the ball in person, and I say this because Mason Jarrett's cousin was that guy that threw 96 miles an hour at, like, the Colorado Rockies fast pitch game and then got signed by the Oakland A's. And we were at a family reunion, and he didn't even throw it, obviously, that hard. But they're like, just throw it kind of hard. It went from this person and this person, they have good arms, and then that guy threw it, and I have an untrained eye. And even I knew that looks
and
different.
And I bet he threw half speed because he doesn't want to hurt somebody.
Right. And it looked so different. You could just tell.
And that's the cool thing you get when you get down on the field. So if anybody listening, you get a chance to do those fantasy batting practices, because they have them at various points, or do the Cardinals fantasy camp, because they do them not only down in Jupiter, but they do them at Busch Stadium, too, throughout the summer. It puts a lot of it into perspective, you know, when you can get up close, obviously going down and, you know, when you sit close, you get some of that, right? If you sit in the very front rows right behind home plate, you get an idea of the speed.
I disagree.
Not the same. No, no, it's not the same as being out there.
No.
What is the, what's Gulf Coast League?
Gulf Coast League is rookie ball.
Okay. So it's rookie.
Yeah.
So I'm here looking at, stats from a guy I knew that I went to high school with as a pitcher. And it was like, oh my God, this dude, he's special. Everybody knew about him. He threw really hard. And I'm looking at his stat line from the minors, and he made it to rookie ball. That's it.
Yeah.
But that just gives you an idea of how good the best, absolute best players in the world are.
I mean, my college teammate, so a guy named Jeff Alkire, he was first team All-American Division I baseball in college, like at University of Miami, a top five program in the country. He's first team All-American starting pitcher. He never got past A-ball. Like that. Like, that's how good this guy was. And then you get to the pros and everybody's that good.
And it makes you doing, sorry, my voice got roached today out on the, on the field. I was just yelling at guys, you know, like, hey.
He was screaming orders. He's like, hit the cutoff!
What the hell's wrong with you? I said, bunt! Yeah. Bunt, you son of a bitch! No, it makes me feel a little silly criticizing. At all.
Right, like, this guy's an embarrassment.
Yeah. Yeah. At all.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's always relative to...
Like, what was Arenado thinking when he tried to tag that guy?
Yeah.
There's a missile coming at my balls, and I'm...
Well, when you put it that way, Bob. That's why, like, Bill Murray's suggestion that in the Olympics they have an average person in each event perspective
That's
is
great.
So smart.
That's great.
Because we're like, oh, look at how far back that swimmer is.
Yeah. I mean, like, imagine, like, if you're just standing on the side of a road and a car comes by at 120 miles an hour, how fast that is.
Yeah.
That's how fast the ball is getting hit at Nolan Arenado when those big guys like Giancarlo Stanton squared up.
When those supplement superstore guys were hitting, I'm like, don't hit it in
No,
me.
I know. There were a lot of guys that were like, well, I'm leaving the infield.
I'm thinking of, you ever been to a fantasy camp?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin?
Yeah. The Cardinals one like 10, 11 years ago.
I did.
Just not baseball.
Your whole life is a fantasy camp.
I mean, pretty much is.
I went with the Sox a few years, and Moose Skowron.
Oh yeah, big man.
He was a teammate of Mickey Mantle's. Yep. Like, that was his best friend.
Yeah.
They were roommates.
He was the first baseman.
He was with Roger Maris. So I remember you play a couple of games, and Moose was coaching first. He's an old man at this point, like 80 something. I don't know. And there was a woman at the fantasy camp, and she was playing first base. And Moose, being real friendly, said, hey, you know, you might want to do this, trying to give her a
backup
or a position, you know, maybe position yourself a little bit over here. And she turned around and goes, I know what I'm doing. And we're like, he goes, damn, okay, Christ, do whatever you want, then. I don't care. This guy played on the New York Yankees with Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle.
Did she think he was mansplaining?
He played for Casey Stengel, and she's like, I know what I'm doing. It was the best.
Did she know who he was? Did she think he was mansplaining or something?
I maybe.
Like, no, it's because he played for the Yankees.
Right.
That's
not because you're a woman.
Yeah.
Right.
So good.
Jeez. 122 DGS. Amy, did you know that you and your kind are responsible for humans' existence?
Me and my kind.
Yes. Can I guess what her kind
is? What is my kind?
Just really anxious people. Just a lot of those?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
No, long-distance runners.
Really?
Yeah. We were having trouble eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were living on the savannah, some smart person figured out that we can't catch these things because they're too fast. But if we run long enough, we can run longer than they can. And that's how we survived. And then when we got into Europe and the Neanderthals were in Europe, they were a little more cagey and they were able to trap animals and use all these techniques. But when it was just us and animals, we were not going to make it until the long distance runners figured out how they could catch animals.
Yeah, it was like in Born to Run, Christopher McDougall's book, he explains that you could form a circle or a square, some kind of perimeter around a certain animal and just get him to keep running. Kind of sad when you think about it. And the animal would just run and run and run and become exhausted because animals can't run 30 miles, but humans can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're built for, well, they're sprinters.
Sprints.
Yeah, they're sprinters.
You could have caught me too.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome, Mike.
We
do
appreciate
what I can.
That.
send a note to your ancestors, Amy. Thank you.
I had a weird TikTok weekend.
Uh-oh.
It decided that I wanted to see Halloween.
The movie?
I like Halloween.
Oh, the movie. I thought you meant the holiday.
No, it's halfway to Halloween. And so Halloween is like the Dave Matthews Band. I like it until you meet someone who loves it, and then they kind of ruin it for you. I've always loved Halloween, but you have these Halloween freaks out there that just like, it's 147 days till Halloween. And so I watched a couple because it was like, Halloween, Halloween, don't do cocoa in your cup. And then it decided, it's all this guy cares about is Halloween.
I love Halloween.
And then about an hour later, I was really missing my Halloween videos because I decided what I really really wanted to see was child boxing.
What?
Oh.
Yeah. Kids boxing?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Like, sanctioned, like their parents were there. It wasn't like bum fights, but they were like 12, 13 years old. They're like, oh, here's young Mickey Spillane out of Dubuque. And I'm like, what? What about me said, I bet he wants to see fisticuffs with fourth graders.
Wait, wait, hold on.
That
there's
can't be
sanctioned
legal.
Child
there
boxing?
Can't be legal.
Where? Kids box.
Yeah.
No,
in this country?
Yes. Still developing.
The
not,
kids
not
box,
well,
man.
Not.
Are you
what?
Serious?
I mean, kids play football too, you know?
But you, I thought that you can't tackle till a certain
no,
age.
No, 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 no. That's what the doctors recommend, but nobody follows that. There's 9-year-olds knocking the crap out of each other out there.
It's true. Oh. Just like there's kids wrestling, there's kids boxing.
Yeah. I mean,
we're wondering what's wrong with our country.
Hell yeah, America. Let's go.
Hey, but if it ever comes down to like it does in the movies where it's always a fist fight for the hero, we'll win.
Maybe we should do that. It's like in...
we'll just fist fight our enemies.
In Troy, when they're like...
Yeah, your best, our best.
Your best, our best. Your best third grader with our best third grader.
Yeah, maybe let them get to eighth grade.
I don't know. Let's make it weird.
Now, no pressure, sweetie, but we do need you.
It's only the future of our nation.
On right? the other end of things, we are being warned to beware of AI... What's it called? Well, they're calling them AI hauntings because they're able to take, they can't take Dave or my mom, who's closer, let's hope, that they can't take my mom's essence and download it to where then I have her, but they can create an AI Grandma Glover.
Ah, okay.
And they're saying, be really careful because what happens is it's not just, hey, mom, I miss you. Oh, I miss you too. It's like, no, this AI thinks it's grandma. And it continues to develop. And when it wants to talk, it wants to talk.
No.
And they're calling it hauntings because these things are haunting people.
Yeah.
That's freaky.
I'll pass.
So haunting them through what? Like the...
Through their existence.
Okay.
Did they set up an AI of your loved one?
Right, but you have to be, like, it has to be turned on, right?
Yes.
Like okay. a phone, like it's reaching out to your phone or your
computer.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, what device is this happening?
Say, is it one of those things where, like, you didn't check in for a couple days, you get on there, it's going to be like, you haven't talked to me in 2 days.
Oh, my God.
I've been sitting here.
Why haven't you called me?
And if it's not like that now, you know it's going to be like that eventually, right?
No, just...
Let them go.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
No need to download
anybody. What's the robot?
Hal.
No, not Hal.
Rosie.
No, the one that was putting the dishes away. Remember?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What's it called? Like
yeah.
something one, like yeah. robot one yeah. or something like that. Just install grandma into that thing?
Mm. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. I mean, we're kidding about
grandma.
It, but it's happening.
Yeah, just download
Roger
grandma.
Roger be like, grandma, go do the dishes for me. Okay, sweetie.
That's not what you were doing earlier.
Somebody forgot to do my laundry.
That girl that was over is a whore.
Oh my God.
I don't like her very much.
Could you
don't
imagine,
invite her again?
Could you imagine any of us being uploaded as AIs?
I can imagine all of you being uploaded as AIs.
Oh, that would be torture for the humans.
135 BGS. So having just played baseball in Busch Stadium grounds, let's talk some more baseball. We're going to talk Cardinals, but first, for all the nerds out there like you, Wheels, and now like me, who are watching the game and seeing all the metrics and all the measurements, we have new ones.
Yeah, this is great.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they just so if, for people that love the nerdy stuff, there's the website is Baseball Savant, and it's run by Major League Baseball, right? It's not some randos. It's all the data provided by Major League Baseball from the ballpark. So that's where we get like spin rates and all those kind of things on your fastballs and exit velos and things. So now they added the measurement on hitters that we've not had before, which is how fast their bat's moving.
I'm surprised we didn't have that.
Yeah, they have it. The teams have had it forever. This is now like the standardized MLB version for public consumption. So you now have the bat speed combined with the length of the swing and a whole bunch of other things that can help you understand more why someone's doing well or why they're maybe not doing so well. So it's interesting. I haven't played around with it too much, but they're measuring swords, Ranj. You guys know what swords are? It's like the half swing where they get cut in between and stop, and it looks funny. It looks like you're just like slicing a sword. Mm-hmm. They now measure that, so we know who the league leader in swords is now.
Oh.
Zach Neto from the Angels, who the Cardinals play tonight.
Of course.
No, it's a bad stat.
No,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the leader in that one.
That's not good.
No, those
not
are not good.
Not good at all.
But it'll be interesting because it'll tell you a little bit more about why someone's having success or why they're struggling. You know, if you can see that their actual bat speed is slowing down with age or whatever, not that I'm thinking of any Cardinals players, but if you could see, and we don't have a reference point now. We have no idea what these were last year. It's just starting from anew, but we can get an idea. How do you relate to the league average? What does that mean based on your stats? Anything that's more info helps us understand.
I think it would be really interesting to know, instead of guessing, because that's all anybody ever does is if a guy's struggling,
right,
he's not hitting, he's like, oh,
yeah.
It's in his head. You know, it's all mental, or it looks like his bat slowed down a bit. Now you can have some real numbers instead of us just sitting here pontificating. Like,
yeah.
What do we think it is? Yeah. Why do we think this guy is struggling when nobody seems to know?
So, just to bring it home on a Cardinals point, you know, somebody that's not performed to his own standards, and I'm not talking out of school. Nolan Arenado says all the time he's not performing to his own standard, but he's not hitting for power. And if you want to wonder, if you want to know why he's not hitting for power, his average bat speed is really low, like below major league average. And his swing is the third longest. Longer swing is bad, right? The shorter the swing, the better. So he's got the third longest swing and below average bat speed. So you want to know why there's no power? That right there tells you why there's no power.
But
what we don't know is...
Historically, he's not been like that.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what his bat speed is historically. But we can probably guess, just inferring based on his production, that one of those two is different than before, which is why he's not hitting for power. So he's hitting for average, and you can be a contact hitter with lower bat speed, you know, because then you have barrel control and you can make contact, and he doesn't strike out a lot, so that you can still be doing that. But when you can see that a swing is long, which his is clearly this year, and when you see that the bat speed, so you look at the other guys that are all with the long swings, they're all well above average on the bat speed. Like the longest swing in baseball is Javier Baez. The second longest is Stanton.
And he's bad this year.
This is the point. They have the two longest swings, but they both have excellent bat speed, right? So even with that, you can have great bat speed and not be a good hitter.
Hmm.
But when you have both of those going wrong, you are not going to hit for power.
How
that is a
Goldie?
Guarantee. Let's see. Well, his bat speed is just about league average. I don't think he's on the list for longest swings that I can see off the top. Oh no, he is. So he's not in the worst, but he's in the bottom 26 when it comes to length of swing. So I think this new information is telling us something about Goldschmidt and Arenado. The only thing we don't know is what was that last year.
So let's talk about, pardon me, let's talk about what the last series brings. We went 1-for-4 with the Brewers. Didn't look good, didn't play well, didn't feel good.
No.
Mozeliak did a really interesting interview, I guess, with Tommy
on Sunday morning. Yeah.
And was talking about, you know, his buy-in of it and his part in it. What do you think?
I mean, he said what he's probably going to have to say, and also to a degree what he's limited to saying. He can't come out and say, yeah, if we don't turn around in a week, we're going to fire people. He's not going to do that. But he did make it very clear that everything is under evaluation when it's this bad, and he pointed the finger at himself. Said, look, everybody is under scrutiny now, and that includes me at the top of the list. Now, the problem that people have with that, and I think it's a legit one, is, well, it's just words right now. None of it is translated into action. And what fans are wanting, the people that are on Twitter, the people that are, you know, not using their tickets, they may have bought them before, but they're not showing up to the games. What those people are saying is, okay, great. It's one thing to say the right words, but what is the team going to do? Are they going to keep it? And again, if it turns around and they go on a 6-game winning streak, all this calms down, but it doesn't look like they're primed to do that.
And as I understand it, there are fans talking about boycotts, and that's what Mo and Mr. DeWitt were responding to, saying, hey,
yeah, Bill DeWitt III talked to Martin Kilcoin.
Revenue
about that,
equals
yeah.
pay.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the way this team, the way the Cardinals model this is not a secret. They talk about it all the time. Their financial structure and model, their major league payroll, has been what it is, even though their market size is lower because of attendance. right? They know that. That's how they build it. So when they're not going to draw people, it's going to make it harder to meet the payroll and actually make money at the end of the year, right? It's not like it's a razor thin edge from my, I mean, just the way I understand the sport.
I didn't see the boycott coming. I can understand the natural consequences of having a bad team are
right.
Your fair weather fans just don't go
right.
On a hot July
or
day.
Or your casual, right.
They might have if they're in a pennant chase.
Yeah.
But the boycott, that kind of surprises me.
I mean, especially when it's a year and a half. It's not like it's been 10 years of struggling. It's not like the Oakland A's who hosed their fan base and they're moving to Vegas because they never tried in Oakland, you know?
Oh, no, it's not that. I think it's people seeing that they have supported this team
mm-hmm.
really well compared to what a lot of other teams around baseball get from their fan base,
yeah.
And they're expecting more, which
yeah.
they are right to expect more.
Absolutely.
And it is a very tough sell. It's almost actually an impossible sell to tell people, well, if you don't buy tickets, payroll's not going to be as high. They don't want to hear that.
No.
And it's not going to make them go rush out to buy tickets.
Yeah, no. Well, I guess I'll go then.
Yeah.
Well, see, and
I saw this put by a fan on Twitter. We are your customers. We are not your investors.
Yeah.
And that's the way fans see it, and they're not wrong for that.
No, it's right. And here's the thing. When you're talking about, you know, future payrolls, for example, you have to continue to be successful because that's what will get people out. So if you reduce the payroll over time, you're actually decreasing your chances of being competitive enough to sell tickets. So one of two things has to happen. You either need to get back to figuring out how to have a lot more cheap, talented young players contributing, because that has not happened lately like it did from, what I would say, like 05, 06 until about 4 or 5 years ago. They had a lot of talent on the cheap side where they didn't have to go sign 5 starting pitchers out of free agency. They don't have, I mean, Lance Lynn was homegrown back in the day, but he's not here as a homegrown player. He's here as a free agent signing now. So none of their starting pitchers came up in the Cardinals organization. They are all free agent acquisitions because they're not filling those spots from within.
So other than disappointing, what did you make of the baseball during the last series?
I mean, it's just more of the same. The offense is stagnant, almost dead. Yesterday, they won by a razor's edge. Paul Goldschmidt got on the board with a home run, which was nice to see. But, you know, there's just no margin for error right now. If you score 3 runs, you're not going to win very often.
Ricky Horton on the broadcast put it really well. I mean, it was so simple, but it's exactly how we feel. He said, it feels like so many things have to go right
yeah.
for the Cardinals to mm-hmm. get out of an inning. And I'm like, that's it. That's how it feels. It's like, oh, are we going to make it? Are we going to get out of this inning? It shouldn't feel like that.
Yeah. And part of here's the worry, right? The offense has been bad. I mean, that's not my opinion. Those are measurable results. You're near the bottom of the league in runs scored, batting average, all that stuff. Like, these are not opinions. This is just an observation of fact. So the offense has been bad, and the pitching has basically kept you competitive until the last week when you've lost, 8 of 10 or whatever it was. So before that, the pitching kept you competitive, but the starting pitching is not as good as it was. They've calmed a little. Now, Kyle Gibson stayed pretty good. Sonny's had one bad start, but otherwise has been good. But you have an empty spot with Matt's on the injured list.
And he had a setback.
Michaelis has not been great. He calmed down yesterday. That was good to see. He had a terrible first inning, and some of it, you know, there's some bad calls, but whatever. Bad calls happen all the time. You got to overcome that. But his last 4 or 5 starts have not been that good. And, you know, you're in a position where you don't have the room to fall behind 3 or 4 to nothing early because you're not hitting. If the pitching's not going to carry it, this is why you're losing now, because you've had a couple of blown games in the bullpen, right? Kittredge gave up a home run the other day in Milwaukee. Guys that were not giving up anything before are just essentially leveling off, right? You're not going to be a 0.89 ERA all year. You're going to have some of those bad outings. So if the lineup doesn't start going, that razor's edge is going to work against you.
Crystals, and this is KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
Yes, so we had the Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore fall. I didn't know this, but North America's scariest bridge is also there. It's 4.3 miles long. It's very high. And it turns. So for much of your time on the bridge, you look like you're driving off into nothing.
Oh,
and it freaks
cool.
people out to the point that there is a cottage industry of people that you can pull over the last exit, and for $30, they're like professional ferry drivers or tugboat captains. They'll drive your car over the bridge for you. This is pretty good.
What do you think you can make on that?
He usually has 10 a day. So $300 a day.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
10 trips.
But you're just driving it because other people, they're afraid to?
Yes.
Oh.
And you get to the other side and someone picks you up and they're like, hey, drive me back. And then you just keep doing it over and over again.
Would you have problems on that bridge? Would you think about it?
Yes. I don't like bridges. Hmm. I don't like inclines, declines, falling off the edges. So it hits me in a lot of places. I don't like any bridges. Like the ones 270 crossing when my mom lived in Illinois. If there was traffic stacked on it.
Really?
I've talked about that McKinley Bridge. And I think I got used to those when I was a kid, those outer lanes, which are now walkways, used to be car lanes. And they are 3 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
And we just drove on
those,
them.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that bridge is woof. But the one that gets me is, and I can't think of the name of it, the Alton one, the yellow, bridge? The newest one. It's like 20 years old.
Yeah.
Whatever it is about that bridge.
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
It's really nice looking, creeps me out. And I cannot think of
the Clark Bridge?
Maybe.
Sounds right.
I don't know. I should know.
You could say any name and I'd say, yep, that's it.
Yep, sounds right.
A billionaire is saying that what the United States government should have been doing this entire time, and he has the math to back it up, is when a baby is born in America, you take $7,000, you put it into an interest-bearing account, and it will be $1 million by the time they turn 65.
Ah.
That's it.
We can fix everything.
We could fix that.
Retirement, at least. According to him. Right.
Yeah. Forget about Social Security. Forget everything else. Forget about taking out of your checks. Every time a baby's born, $7,000 goes into an interest-bearing account. You can't touch it. And by the time you're 65, you have $1 million.
Why wouldn't we do something like that? What's the argument against it?
Not wanting to put $7,000 in every time a baby's born? Wanting to, I'd rather not pay right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do something over time.
Which sounds like a lot until you think of our really messed up medical system and how much it costs for a baby to be born, like all the medical expenses and the hospital charges. $7,000 is nothing compared to that. Why don't we clean that up a little bit and put those $7,000 into an account?
His suggestion, was it for the government to do that?
For
the government. Because if it's for an individual, that's a non-starter.
Most people can't do that. So let's see here. So it looks like a couple years ago, there were like 3.6 million babies born in a year. So we go times 7,000. We're talking about 25, 30 million. Right? Or billion?
No.
Billion. Ask about numbers.
Yeah, you're in the wrong
billion.
Room.
Yeah,
bro.
Dude, all I know is what our when you compare what our budget is, let's say that's 25 billion. That's nothing. That is nothing. How can we not think that that's a better plan moving forward?
Yeah.
Because you know what it is? People in charge now, they don't care about people's, they don't care about those kids that are going to be 65 in 65 years. They don't vote. They don't have any power. We're not worried about that.
They're just batteries.
I mean,
running what we have now.
Just seems like such an easy fix.